This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Bernard Ebers, who turned a small Mississippi long-distance company into a telecommunications giant called WorldCom, has been convicted of fraud. A federal jury yesterday found Ebers guilty of all 9 counts against him. The jury agreed with prosecutors that the former WorldCom CEO played a major role in what's called the biggest corporate fraud of all time. He now faces a jail sentence. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports.
The jury was in its 8th day of deliberations when it reached its verdict. Ebers was convicted of all of the charges he faced, including conspiracy, securities fraud, and 7 counts of filing false documents with the Securities and Exchange Commission. After the verdict, Ebers left the courthouse without speaking, but his attorney, Reid Weingarten, did talk to reporters.
I'm extremely disappointed. I know Mr. Ebers and I know the evidence in this case, and I was extremely hopeful that he would be vindicated. And the fight continues, and he obviously wasn't vindicated today, because I think the system works right. I expect them to be vindicated in the future.
Prosecutors had alleged that Ebers was the linchpin of the $11 billion accounting fraud that occurred at WorldCom between 2000 and 2002. At the time, WorldCom's revenues had fallen sharply, and to conceal what was happening from investors, the company began manipulating its financial statements. Ebers insisted on the witness stand that he didn't know what was happening and that he regularly deferred financial matters to others at the company. A former basketball coach, Ebers described his role at the company as a sort of head cheerleader who oversaw the sales force. But his testimony was at odds with that of other company officials, especially Scott Sullivan, the former chief financial officer. Michael Perino is a professor of law at St. John's University in New York.
This was very much a case about who did the jury believe. Did they believe Scott Sullivan when he said, I told Bernie Ebers all about this fraud and he knew about it and approved about it? Or did they believe Bernie Ebers when he said, this was all done without my knowledge and I didn't really know about this accounting stuff? And pretty clearly, the jury believed Scott Sullivan.
To former federal prosecutor Chris Bebel, the defense's decision to have Ebers testify was probably a mistake because it emphasized some of the most incriminating evidence against him.
The biggest lesson we take from this trial is, do not put your client on the stand if he is a key executive that is trying to say he had no knowledge of the underlying activity.
But Ebers' attorney, Reid Weingarten, said yesterday that he didn't regret putting Ebers on the stand, and he continued to insist that his client had not consciously set out to defraud anybody.
CEOs have a responsibility, but it doesn't mean they've committed crimes when misdeeds were committed in their organizations that they didn't know about. The captain of the ship is responsible for the ship, but he's not criminally responsible unless he acted with criminal intent. And I didn't think Mr. Ebers ever acted with criminal intent, and still don't today, despite the verdict.
And Weingarten left no doubt that his client would appeal the verdict. Weingarten said there were 7 or 8 major issues that could be used to appeal the verdict. He said the case should have been tried in Mississippi, where WorldCom was headquartered, instead of New York City. He also said Ebers had wanted to call several witnesses to the stand, including the company's former chief operating officer, Ron Beaumont. But he said the government and the judge refused to give them immunity from prosecution, so the jury was deprived of hearing information that might have exonerated Ebers. But former federal prosecutor Dan Richmond doubts that appeal can succeed.
The likelihood of that issue going anywhere in a court of appeals is slim. It's one that has come up frequently and has generally been rejected by the courts of appeals as a basis for reversing a conviction. And unless he has other more substantial claims, I would think he has quite an uphill struggle here.
If the appeal fails, most legal analysts say Ebers is likely to face prison time, but just how much is unclear. The 9 counts that he was convicted of have a total potential sentence of 85 years. Many legal experts say it's highly unlikely he would get such a stiff sentence. Still, they say it is very possible that the 63-year-old Ebers will spend much of the rest of his life in jail. Again, Dan Richmond.
This is a sizable fraud, and it's a fraud in which the defendant was convicted in front of a jury and may well be found to have perjured himself. So those factors will push it, I expect, to the higher end.
One thing in Ebers' favor is the recent Supreme Court ruling striking down the federal sentencing guidelines. The court's ruling gives Judge Barbara Jones considerable leeway to determine Ebers' sentence, which means she can lessen his prison time if she sees fit to do so. The judge set a sentencing date of June 13th. Jim Zeroli, NPR News, New York.